Good morning. Let's start that all over again. Jerry, our pastor, is on vacation, so we pray for his refreshment. He hasn't been traveling, but he's just been taking a little bit of time. And just pray for him. He's not with us this morning, and I thank you for those that knew that I was going to speak and still showed up and didn't take a church vacation. And for those of you all that expected to see Jerry, surprise, it's going to be me. This morning we're going to focus on 1 John, and I'm going to have Braun come and super church. You knew I had to forget at least one thing. Super church, you can go downstairs. I don't know if you noticed the title to my message in the bulletin you got, if you got that. There's two titles, and I don't know why it always ends up, but a lot of times I have two titles, and I think it's, you know, because there's two main things I want to emphasize is, what is your offering, and who is your brother? So, what is your offering? For those of you all who saw that and thought that I would be talking about tithing and giving money, and if you were immediately convicted, okay? Number one, I'm not going to talk about tithing and giving money. But number two, if you were convicted, the offering boxes are right around, they're right outside the door, okay? And you can give online. I don't know how to tell you how to do that, but you can give online. You can open your Bibles to 1 John 3, 11 through 24. And then also go to Genesis 4, 1 through 10. Jerry has been calling John, the writer of this gospel, Grandpa John, because John was an older man at the time that he's writing this gospel. He was 90, 91 years old. And when you look at how the words he's using, he's an older man. He's seen a lot. And think of what he's seen. He walked with Jesus and was taught by Jesus. He saw him get crucified on the cross and rise from the grave. He was there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. He was there for the beginning of the church. And he also lived through the beginnings of the church and saw a lot of the problems in the church. And in these verses that Bron's going to read here in just a little bit, I'm thinking that he's kind of like Grandpa, and he's talking to his children and his grandchildren in such a way, and I can almost see him shaking his finger at them and saying, you're not paying attention to what is important. Here's a man who's 90 years old and he's lived life, and this is what's important. You're doing all these things and you're getting caught up in all these other things. This is what's important. Pay attention. Because I've lived 90 years and I can look back on life and I can see what is important and what you need to focus on. So look at these verses that Bron's going to come and read as a man that lived 90 to 91 years. All the other apostles have passed. They've been martyred for the gospel. And Jerry and I were talking this week. How did he feel that he's the only one left? The rest had been martyred. What he says is very important. Braun, if you'd like to come. I tried to adjust the mic. Let's see if I got it tall enough.
Morning. All right. Please follow along as I read from Papa John. 11 through 24. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. For whoever keeps his commandment abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. And over in Genesis. Chapter 4, and we're going to go 1 through 10. Now Adam and Eve, his wife, she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground.
Thanks, Brian. So in these verses, the first thing that in John that he tells us is you're to love one another. Don't be like Cain. So the first thing that I want to do is to go back on that Genesis and talk a little bit about Cain. Cain and Abel. Cain was a worker of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Many commentaries that I read define Cain as of the evil one. But I think they were both born after the fall of man, after the original sin, after Adam and Eve had sinned, and after they had been kicked out of the garden. I think they were all born with a sinful nature, both Cain and Abel. So I don't know that one was born evil. I don't think one was born evil and one was born righteous. I think they were both born with a sinful nature, the same. Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. And Cain enjoyed raising things. That's what he did. He raised things from the fruit of the ground. He loved to work the ground, and he brought it as an offering to God. And you would think this is a good thing, right? This is what he enjoys doing, and he enjoys doing this, and he brings it to God. But his offering wasn't acceptable to him. And you have to ask yourself the reason why. He enjoyed doing it, and it was a gift to God. But his offering was not acceptable. Abel brought an offering that he brought of the firstborn and the fatted portions. He brought the best of what he had. And what I wonder about this is, why did that matter? Because God created all things. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created all the sheep and all the animals. So why does it matter? It's already his. Why does it matter that it's the best? You have to ask yourself that. It was about the offering. Think of it like this. But it was also about the man who was bringing the offering. It says the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. And it says for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So it was about the man and the condition of his heart and the offering that he brought. Not just the offering. God was pleased with Abel's offering because of the condition of his heart. And he knows our heart. Cain's offering was what he had. It was probably a good thing. If it had been given in love. He didn't give his best. He just gave to God the same thing that he probably would have given to somebody else. A God, because of Cain's lack of love for God, he failed in his offering. A God that is all-powerful, that created all things, he deserves our best. Cain's offering reflected his heart, and he had a lack of love and a lack of dedication to his Lord and love for his Lord, but it was also showed that he was a bit selfish. And we don't know all that was going on in Cain's heart, but God knew exactly everything that was going on in Cain's heart. But his offering and himself did not please God. Cain was told by God, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you. Sin is contrary to you. Sin is wanting to destroy you. Sin is wanting to tear you down. You must rule over it. That's what God told Cain. You must rule over your sin. You must make a decision. But he didn't do that, did he? He let the anger boil. He let the anger build. And he talked to his brother, inviting him out to the woods and killed him. He murdered his son, his brother. And at that point, he was of the evil one because of his sin. And he was cursed for the rest of his life. Abel gave an offering to God, to a God that he loves, and a God that he desired to please. It was given with love and a pure heart. It was the offering and the condition of his heart that made him and his offering acceptable. They were both evaluated. The offering that you bring and the condition of your heart is what determines as to if it's going to be acceptable. Here's what happens. All man is born with a sinful nature. We all bring an offering to God. The quality of our offering is important. The condition of our heart is important. And we bring it together, and that is our offering before him. Every believer has an offering. Our offering is who we are and how we serve. So my first question is, what is your offering? How are you bringing your offering? And what is the condition of your heart as you do it? Because he knows the condition of our heart. Let's look at 1 John 3. Go through it verse by verse. 1 John 3:11 through 24. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We've heard that throughout the New Testament, right? It's a theme throughout the New Testament. Love one another. And we hear it repeatedly. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brother, that the world hates you. So this picture of Cain and Abel is also a picture of the world and us believers. So don't expect the world to love us. It doesn't understand us. It has different priorities. The world more and more, and has all along, looked at believers with anger and contempt. They don't understand us. Cain's murder of his brother wasn't just an accidental killing. It was premeditated, and it was a crime of passion. The word that is used in the Greek indicates that it was a bloody mess. It was a bloody sacrifice. It wasn't just a killing. It was done with anger. And that is the way the world looks at us. They don't understand us, and we have to look at it like that. In verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death to life because we love the brothers. Who's your brother? We've passed from life to death because we love the brothers. That's evidence of the fact that we're no longer dead. We're alive in Christ because we love the brothers. Who's your brother? Everything I look at in this verse says our brother is our fellow believers. Everyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, completely given their life to Him, is your brother. Even that person that irritates you. You know, there's some people that are easy to love, and then there's some people a little harder to love. If they believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and He died on the cross for your sins, He's your brother or sister, or she is your sister. So don't just think about that person that is lovable. Think about that believer that is on a walk that's a little bit different than yours, that is a little bit harder to love, a little bit more difficult to love. We're to love our brothers. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything. Even in our doubts, even in our struggles in life, we have a fallback. We know that God is greater than everything that we're facing, everything that we're doing, and we have confidence in Him that He is going to walk with us and take us through that because He loves us and is caring for us. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another. Just as He has commanded us, whoever keeps His commandments abideth in God and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. He laid down His life for us, and we should lay down our lives for our brothers. Do you see how Jesus laid down His life? It was a cruel death. He became that sacrifice. It was brutal. And we're supposed to love each other in the same way that Jesus loved us. Isn't that a challenge? For that one person that irritates you so much that you have a little bit of a hard time There's some people that are easy to love, and some people are a little bit more difficult. It says for us to be doers and not talkers. I've said many times that there's two different kinds of people in this world. There's people that talk about doing something, and there's doers that do it. Now, talkers, they will talk about it, they'll plan about it, they will get in a meeting, they'll have meetings, they'll discuss it, they'll come back the next day, and they'll start talking about it a little bit more, they'll analyze it a little bit more. By about this time, the doer has already done the job that should have gotten done. Believers are supposed to be doers and not talkers. We're supposed to put action to our words and make our words few and our actions many. That's proof that we love our brothers. And if we've got all these gifts and abilities and material wealth and the ability to help a brother that's in need, and we don't use that, does the love of Christ dwell in us? And John's saying no. If you've got the ability to help somebody, a brother in need, and you don't use your material things to help your brother, does the love of God dwell in you? This is where John's kind of shaking his finger at us and being really blunt. Don't just talk about it, because talk is easy. Put it into practice. Put it into words. See a brother that is in need and do something, what you can for them. Sometimes it's this action or that action. Sometimes it's significant. Sometimes it's just a little thing. Sometimes all you can do is pray. But I'm a believer that prayer is maybe the biggest thing that you can do. So it's a commandment to love our brothers, right? Did you see it in the God's word? That means you've got to love me. Do you remember that one time I said that one thing that was really, I shouldn't have said? Do you remember that? Okay, are you thinking, how many times did he do that? Okay. I've got this little voice in my head that says, don't say it, don't say it, and then I say it. Okay. I'm working on that. I've probably said things that bother people, and that irritates you. You've got to love me, even though I might do some things that will offend you. It might be a little bit out of step with the norm. You've still got to love me. And you've got to love the person sitting in front of you and behind you. And you've got to love that person on the front. Oh, everybody loves the Nichols. They're on the front row. And even the people on the back row, Lynn's back on the back row. You've got to love all your brothers, irregardless of if they irritate you, bother you, or if they're perfect or not perfect. And even doctrinal stands, you're still supposed to love your brothers, even if they're one of those mid-tribbers or post-tribulationists. Or, you know, I can throw out all kinds of different names in which God uses doctrinal arguments to separate us from other believers. That's not loving your brother. If they know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they're putting all their trust in him, and they've got the right term and got the right relationship and knowledge of who Jesus is, and they've given their life to him, they are your brother and sister in Christ, and you are to love them and not get into arguments doctrinally. It's good to have discussions because that helps clarify what we believe. But when it degrades into an argument and it separates us, Satan loves separation of the believers. If he can get us arguing about little things, about color of the carpet in the auditorium, if he can get us arguing about more insignificant doctrinal issues that will divide us on things, he just loves that. Let's talk about this church. I'm going to mention a few people by name and Only one of them knows that I'm doing it. I've only warned a few people. But I think, from my standpoint, I think these people are good examples of using their offering and coming at it from a pure heart. And Mickey Tays is one of them. He doesn't know I mentioned him. There he goes. Yep. He came to us and wanted to start a free Indeed group. And he had to be persistent for us to help him start that group. He's got a leading of the Holy Spirit. Nobody told him to do it. He's doing it out of the servant's heart and love. And he's got a group of people now together that are walking through life together. And that's a good thing. And Ashley's not up here, is she? Ashley and Kristen, they both serve in a dedicated fashion. Ashley and Kristen are the preacher's children. They're preacher's kids. Let me just tell you a secret. It would be easier for them and less complicated for them to be a part of a different church. Them being the preacher's kid makes coming here and attending here more complicated. Kristen comes and leads in worship. Ashley's got a love and a heart for our children. She blesses our children, and she's got a purpose. She doesn't just love kids. She loves kids for the purpose of the kingdom. And I don't see Will here this morning. He may be downstairs. Will Cadillo? Cadillo? I may be mispronouncing his name. He came here and for a long period of time just checked out our church, sized us up. Are we about the truth? Are we about the kingdom of God? Are we going to be consistent? I can't tell you how long he attended before he started digging in. But he's got a passion to teach, and he's got a passion to teach our children. And if you just talk to him, that's when he lights up. We're blessed because Ashley and Will are both focused on our children's ministries, and they're working. And their purpose is to introduce our children to Christ. Brad Dunklin, he's head of our security team. And it's really sad in this day that we need a security team. But nobody tells Brad how to do it or what to do it. He's self-motivated. He gets after it. He plans, and his group is dedicated, and they do their jobs very well, kind of behind the scenes. But if something happens in the church, they won't be behind the scenes very long. They're kind of looking forward to things, I think, you know. They're ready. And they plan, and they work, and nobody tells them. I think these people, and I could mention many, many more. Our church is blessed by people who serve behind the scenes in a meaningful way just because they're led by the Holy Spirit to do it. They don't have to have a title. They don't have to have a position. They don't have to be told what to do. The Holy Spirit burdens them, and they have the drive and the push, and we should come together and get together and serve the kingdom together. And I can mention other people, but as far as I know, these people and many others are bringing an offering to God. Their life and their actions and their heart, as far as I can tell, is a good offering with good motives and should be pleasing to the God, to our Lord and Savior. But I can't see their heart, can I? Only God can see their heart. And God knows their heart completely and purely. We know each other in kind of a not as deep, not as well as God knows us. If they are in secret, if they've got selfish reasons for serving, or if anybody has selfish reasons for serving, or they're doing it just as routine because it's a position in the church and we're to serve this way, and somebody asks us to do this and we're serving like that, just kind of out of compulsion, that gift is not going to please God. It's our heart, condition of our heart, and the service we give that pleases Him. if our heart is not pleasing to him, and our offering and the condition of our heart is not good, we become like Cain. And we can become like Cain. And you don't think that will happen. But God told Cain that sin is waiting for you. Sin is against you. Make a decision. We can become like Cain. It happens in a church. Who's your brother? It's all believers. It's everybody around you. Let me talk about some of the positives that I see in this church. When I'm praying about this church, I continually get this picture in my head. Not all the time, but most of the time. This church is to be a beacon of light to a dark world. And when I'm praying many times, I see this light. And I see darkness completely around. And this church teaches the truth, believes the truth, and is doing our best under God's leadership to put the truth into practice. We're a group of believers dedicated to furthering the kingdom of God and spreading his truth. Feel good about that, because there's a lot of churches nowadays that have gotten lost in that message and in that purpose. They're trying to make everybody feel good. They're trying to include everyone. Who's your brother? It's other believers. I've also got, and I feel really excited about this, there's a vision. We're reaching out more. We're growing. We're teaching the truth. We're preaching the truth. There's more people coming in, and I'm excited about that. There's more and more people coming in, and they're facing struggles in life. And our church has always been a place that has been a good place to heal and recover. And isn't it better, and if we're loving our brothers, that those people that come with struggles, we can walk through things together, right? Isn't it better together than separate? And then what I see also happening is more and more people coming into this congregation and bringing their offerings and their service and their hearts, and also helping this congregation and this group of believers reach out in various different ways, in ways that we haven't even thought of yet, to grow the kingdom of God in multiple ways. So look for growth, and it's a good thing and a positive thing, because the dark world needs the truth, right? Amen? It tells us to love our brother. It's a commandment. It's an order. He's not saying it like, love your brother a little bit. Love your brother as Christ loved the church, and he gave his life for that, and we've got to work at it. That is not a natural thing, but we are to love your brother, and I'm your brother. You got to love me. What's your offering to the Lord, and what's the condition of your heart as you bring your offering to the Lord? What is your service, and what is the condition of your heart? Remember, nobody else can really see the condition of your heart and know. But you got no secrets before God. None. He knows your heart completely. Here's our situation in life. We're born with a sinful nature. We become believers, and we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We give our lives to him without reserve. We grow to love God, and we love him with awe and power, because he's the God that created all things and knows us completely, and he's our shepherd that takes care of us. Because of our love for him, we're all to love the brothers. Love them with his kind of love, not our kind of love. because of the wonderful love that he has and the fact that we have the truth and we have this love that the world doesn't have, our hearts should break for those people who don't have what we have. And we should reach out to the lost in this world, in that dark world. They're blind, they're living in darkness, and they don't know it. Our hearts should break for them, and we should reach out and spread God's truth to him in the best way that we can. We live in a world where Satan is prowling, and where it makes sense, and where would it make sense for him to attack? He's not attacking out in the world, not really. He's got strategies out in the world, but he's attacking the church. And if you look at churches and look at churches and what they preach and what they teach and what they are, he's attacking. He's causing dissension and discord. He will do all he can to keep us from growing together in the love that he knows that we're supposed to have. Because there's power in that love. And that if we get successful in this kind of love, he can't stop it. There's power in that coming together and that love, and he's doing everything he can to keep us from coming together and being united in love for our Lord. We're stronger together than we are individuals. Do you believe that? I don't know anybody that hasn't walked through struggles in life. You can live the best life possible, and you're still going to have struggles in life. You can submit yourself to Christ. And you're still going to have struggles. We need to walk together through this life, through all the struggles, because we're stronger together than we are separate. Just imagine if a church could truly, completely succeed at this kind of love. John's instructing us to do it. Think of how sweet our fellowship would be. Think of how powerful our love would be in a dark world that doesn't have this kind of love. The light would be shining brighter and brighter. We're commanded to love our brother completely with action and commitment. Don't talk it. We're to do it. The consequences of not having a pure heart before our Lord and not loving our brother is we become like Cain. We give an offering that looks good to other people but is not pleasing to our Lord. And we don't want to be like the Cain. You don't have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the long-suffering. You don't have the fruit of the Spirit living as Cain lived. He was cursed. He was of the evil one. As we close, just ponder that. Tiago, Kristen, come up and close. If you have, well, we'll close with a word of prayer at the end. I've got another announcements to make, but if you have, God is working on you this morning, I'll be up front. Find Kirk. Find another person that you can have prayer with in this time while we're having this worship time at the end. So, amen.